Sounds good.
I would have a hard time building a casita without building a basement underneath it. If I'm going to go back there and start tearing it up to gain that underground, safe, secure, cool storage, I'd have a hard time doing that without digging a basement. I know that adds cost.
I'm with you.
But, man, you've already got all the equipment, everything there. Spend that extra time and just dig a little deeper if you have the room for it. You're doubling your square footage easily, but you're not doubling your costs. Pour some concrete walls. Doesn't have to be much fancy down there. Sump pump, some lights. You know, you could build out a man cave or a playroom or whatever else down the road. Sure, but to start off with, that extra cost to dig down, get a good solid foundation, some concrete walls. You know, whether you did anything with it or not, you would make your money off of that on a resale value down the road just for the pure square footage. And it doesn't hardly cost anything to, because you've got the insulation of the earth to heat or cool, and it's never going to get so hot or so cold down there that there's nothing you couldn't put down there for storage.
Yeah, that's true. I love basements. They are greatly underutilized in the desert.
And the reason for that, you've heard us talking about it before, but if you're new to the program, when we're building in cooler climates, you've got to get your foundation below the frost line. And we just don't have one here in Arizona. Even in Flagstaff and the White Mountains, those frost lines are not that deep.
They're not.
Compared to where you find it, you know, Minnesota, Michigan.
4 feet deep, 5 feet deep. Well, once you've dug the footing that deep to build your house, it just makes sense to go another 2 feet,
mm-hmm.
3 feet, 4 feet, and do a full basement.
When you only have to scratch 6 inches off a desert floor, that's a hard sell to...
The basement's a pure all additional cost in the desert area. But you know, one of the research dynamics that we've stumbled across in trying to help people solve this dilemma is we can come out and assess your home, what the building materials are made out of, and what it would take in building setbacks and backyard dimensions and code requirements to create a matching custom casita to match your house. That people are surprised. That cost per square foot is really, really high. You're bringing every single trade you need to build a 3,000 square foot home, and you're socking it all into 800 or 1,000 square feet. And you've got to tie in all the utilities. It's not unusual at all for a backyard casita to be 225, $250, even $300 a square foot. When we ran up against this for a couple up just south of Anthem a couple years ago, I told them, look, rather than spend that to match, and they had a beautiful home, I said, why don't you run out to some of the modular homes and see some of the built product that they can just come drop on your property. Well, they called me like a week later, found exactly the floor plan they wanted, dropped it in place, connected the utilities, landscaped it, and did it for one-third what it would have cost to build completely new to match their home. But I'll tell you who had the most brilliant idea is this guy that built modular inserts to your garage. You yank the garage doors off, and you slip this finished master suite home into your garage.
No.
Yes.
Darn it. That's another idea I should have had. That's brilliant. Who is this? I hadn't even seen this.
Babe, what was the webpage on that?
That's called Med
Cottage.
Med Cottage.
And there's three stages. I've been trying to get a hold of them. They're on the East Coast. You can order things prefabbed from them, or they come in a kit, and you can do them. But you're still talking $150,000. I mean, this is not a cheap endeavor. But they send you the supplies. On their website, Med Cottage, you can also just get the plan. And the first one is called, it's called Living Roo, the Living Roo. And it's a little insert you put in a two-bay garage. And the funny thing is, I was just reading about it. It doesn't have real windows. It's got like an HDTV kind of an affair where it looks like outside. I don't know about that. That's a little hokey.
That won't meet code.
No, and I don't think it's healthy either. So that was one. And then the next one is a little cottage, more like an RV. And you don't build, I guess you're not allowed to build a platform, right? It said this kind of style is permittable and most cities would allow it. It's just a little bitty cottage thing you put out, but it's not a permanent thing. So it's not going to be really resale value. It's just money you're putting into it to use it for this particular situation. And then this one's called the mothership.
And it could be picked up and moved off the property.
Right.
When you're
right.
done.
You know, it's almost kind of like the tiny house concept. They even have them on wheels. But some people kind of object, saying, well, it looks like you're putting granny out in storage. But I don't know. I think the privacy, it just depends on probably your relationship. You know, if your family knows you love them and this, you're trying to provide them privacy and independence, it's probably a really cool thing. If you don't get along and you say, here, come out and stay in this in this pod, then maybe they'll take a little insult to it. And then there's a third one called the Med Cottage Classic. And it looks like the ones you see on Pinterest where it's like almost like a storage, you know, how the
container.
No, those storage sheds that we like, tough shed, kind of like a tough shed done up real nice with,
made livable.
Yeah. But you're talking about summer with all these, you're talking about summer heat and trying to keep something like that cool. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a really good fit, but a lot of them are wired with technology, you know, so you could kind of keep track of your family members that are out there. I don't know. I think technology is going to change all this quite a bit.
I'm sure you can insulate those pods, though, can't you?
You can. Yeah. And put a...
But enough for 120?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, okay.
And then you put a mini split on it, and you're only trying to air condition, you know...
That's true. I guess you can
600 square feet.
Yeah.
And you could do that with a mini split for really affordable. I tell people all the time... You know, they want to brag to me, well, I've got an R40 wall. I said, oh, yeah, what do you got in the attic? Oh, I got R60 in the attic. I said, oh, yeah, what do you got for your exterior doors and windows? Well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you what you got, R2. So, you've got to take it. I tell people, if you could build an envelope called your house that was a consistent R10, and you can't, it's almost impossible. But if you could just get to an R10 on the floor, the walls, the attic, the windows, the doors, you'd have the most comfortable, cost-effective unit to heat and cool that's being built today. But we can't get windows that high.
Mini splits are going to change a lot, I think, by themselves for aging in place. When you're looking at, let's say, a 3,000-4,000 square foot home you may have lived in for many years. You raised your family. They've all moved away. You're there with your spouse or alone now. If one of them passes, it happens sometimes, but you don't want to leave. Well, you don't need to heat and cool that entire living space, and to start closing off doors to different rooms only chokes the unit. It's designed to cool that whole space. Well, you could shut that unit off, or at the point it was, wore out, or broken, needed replaced. You could save yourself a ton of money by putting a mini split in the master bedroom where you sleep, and putting a mini split in the kitchen where you eat, for a fraction of the cost of replacing a whole new, you know, high SEER unit. If that unit was installed 20 years ago, you've got to upgrade to at least a 16 SEER now, I think. You know, so your cost is substantial. Throw a mini split in your sleeping area and your active living area during the day, and just live with that place. They're so efficient. It could be a viable solution to maintaining comfort if you want to stay in a larger home that you've outgrown the need for one person.
Absolutely.
But you love your neighborhood, you love your neighbors, you love, you know, it's a house you've lived in a long time. That's a hard thing to let go of.
Oh, and Mom and Dad jump in the RV and head off for Mardi Gras. You can just shut that wing of the house down. Mardi Gras weekend here.
You have a king cake?
Gary, how many Mardi Gras have you attended?
Ho, ho, ho. How many? Well, I've broadcast from them about 12 times.
Oh,
I've attended, really? I've only been to one ball, though, and that was in New Orleans in 2010.
Wow.
I have to say it was a great experience, too. The funniest thing that we've seen when going to the Bacchus Ball is seeing all of us dressed in formal tuxes and all the ladies dressed in beautiful formal dresses, and we're pulling ice chests. Full of liquor with wheels into the convention center, which is what they're doing this weekend again.
That's exactly what they're doing this weekend. I've been to one Mardi Gras, and that was all it took. I figured I'd much rather be in New Orleans for the Jazz Festival.
Oh, that I've been to quite a few of those too.
Yeah, I would take the Jazz Festival over Mardi Gras any day of the year for sure. So, anyway. But back to Roman.
Unfortunately,
Roman's
not much jazz left at the Jazz Festival. You see those lineups, it's like
not like the old days, that's
well,
for sure.
If that's the case, you just get jazzed after a while with all the food and the drinks and all that.
But if your mom and dad are in the house for only part of the season, those mini splits are a great way to go because you literally can shut one whole end of the house down. What we don't want you doing is those of you that have kids moving out, you start shutting down their bedrooms, and you go in there and you get a little stepladder, and you close all their registers. That really makes it hard on your air conditioning equipment. You're creating static pressure on the unit that isn't good for it. You're aging the unit. You're not saving money. Let the unit operate as it's designed to operate. Don't shut the registers off for rooms you're not using. And I'm challenged as often on that as I am on don't flush Kleenex down the toilet.
Mini splits are also
Rosie,
great.
Rosie, you're nuts. You're crazy. I've had that bedroom shut off for years. Oh, man.
Oh, they're a great solution if you're looking to heat or cool your garage as well. In the past, we would have to spend a bunch of money on insulation, and obviously that's still a good thing to do because a lot of homes that are built with garages aren't insulated. We'd have to dump so much money in there to make it make sense, but the efficiency of mini splits is so high that you could slap one on and start cooling it now and worry about insulating it later or parts of it over the next couple months or years or however budget allows for.
Yeah, people don't believe me, but you can mini split air condition your garage in the middle of summer for less money than you can run an evap cooler 30 days of the month.
Nonstop, squirrel cage running.
Yeah,